We're going to turn in our Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 2. While you're turning there, I want to mention again the Stand Up for America rally on October the 29th. The school board has decided to close school on that day so that there won't be any impediment to our teachers and staff and students and maybe even some of our parents to go to that rally. I think it's critical, if you can go, to go. Politicians understand two things, probably in this order, money and crowds. And folks, we are going to have to be the backbone of the Republican Party. That's just the way it is. And a crowd of 12, 15, 17,000 people in Halifax Mall will give them some backbone to know that they're not alone. They're not out on a limb and standing for what's right. And they understand that if there's 15,000 people there, there may be 10 or times or more that number who feel the same way, who just could not be there. So it's very important that we go. So, Lord willing, we'll be getting a letter out to our parents about this. But keep that in mind, that we'll be closing school on the 29th of October for this rally. Turning in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we want to read one verse, and that's verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight that you know our frame. You know that we are dust. And you know tonight that our hearts are sorrowful. The loss of our brother and our friend, Mike Hinesley. We sorrow as we see the family's sorrow and their grief. We thank you that you are touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And we thank you that we do not have to sorrow as those who have no hope. And we pray that you might just press these things to our hearts in these coming hours and days. And that you might speak to the hearts of any who are lost through these circumstances. We pray that you would help us now as we think on your word for a few moments. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The last two Sunday mornings, we've been thinking about Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7. And in both of those messages, we mentioned what makes that sermon so important are the details, the historic details that he supplies, details that God gives us so that we can take them and take them back to the Old Testament record and illuminate those scriptures. This morning we talked about the little detail of how the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And that little detail opened up a whole treasure trove of truth for us to consider. But a question that comes to mind is this. Why didn't the Lord just put those details there in the Old Testament record to begin with? Wouldn't that have been easier? Wouldn't that have been more convenient for us? Well, folks, the Spirit of God has not designed this book for our ease and convenience. He's designed this book to be studied line upon line, so Sometimes those lines will be in the New Testament to carry to the Old. Precept upon precept. Sometimes the precept will be in the Old to carry to the New. Here a little, there a little. He's designed this book to be studied. That's what he says in this very familiar verse that is a command. It's a command. And the first word of the command is study. That word means to exert oneself. It means to give diligence. And this word study is a word that brings before our minds one of the great battles that believers face in the Christian life. I'd like for you to turn back for just a minute to the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And we want to look at the 12th chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And look at verse 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. The words that we want to notice are the last words of this verse. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Now, most of our students who are here tonight, and you ask them, they would, I'm sure, agree tomorrow. And really, most of us, as we think about our days in school, I think we would certainly agree that much study is a weariness of the flesh. But I want us to think about these words in a spiritual realm, if you will. I think they have a very important spiritual application in relation to the Word of God. And that application begins, at least, in noticing what this verse doesn't say. Notice that it doesn't say that much study is a weariness of the spirit. And it doesn't say that because much study of the Word of God is not a weariness to the Spirit of God who dwells within the believer. Much study of the Word of God is not a weariness to the new nature that we have when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Look back at Psalm 1, the first psalm. It's not too far from where we are. Psalm 1, and look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This verse describes the blessed man, the godly man, the spiritual man. And notice what it says of this man in verse 2. But his delight, his pleasure, his desire, his longing is in the law of the Lord. And before we go any further, that's a good way for us to examine ourselves before the Lord tonight. Really, this whole message is about our relationship to the Word of God. Is it our pleasure? Is it our desire? Is it our longing? Is it that in which we take delight? If it's not, then we need to do what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. One of the ways that we can examine ourselves is our relationship, our attitude toward the Word of God. The last part of this verse, the second verse, says, "And in His law doth he meditate day and night." This verse is to the Word of God what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Last week we mentioned Pastor Carr's morning minute when he mentions this verse. And Dan says that we can't pray without ceasing if we had to be on our knees, or if we had to move our lips to pray, or to pray verbally. We don't have to be on our knees to pray. We don't have to have our lips to move to pray. We can pray while we're driving. And that's really needful, you know. Some of the people that have managed to get driver's licenses are amazing to me. And the way that they drive. So we can pray while we're driving. We certainly don't want to bow our heads. We can pray while we're working. Young people can pray when they're taking a test. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can pray. When we can't bow our knee, get on our knees, or say a word out loud. And the same is true with the Word of God. In His law doth He meditate day and night. That word meditate means muse. To muse is to think. And like praying without ceasing, we can meditate, we can muse on the Word of God wherever we are, whatever we're doing. That's why it's so important to delight in the law of God. It's why it's so important to hide the Word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against the Lord. Because just as we can't go through the day on our knees, we can't go through the day with an open Bible in our hands. But we can pray. And we can muse. We can think on the Word of God in whatever circumstances we're in. This is why delighting in the Word of God is so important. This is why Ecclesiastes 12:12 doesn't say that much study is a weariness of the Spirit. Because this is how we're going to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is how we're going to be able to tear down the strongholds of sin in our lives, by much study of the Word of God. And that much study is not a weariness of the Spirit of Christ who dwells in us. Paul wrote in Romans 7 and verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Much study of the Word of God is not a weariness to the inward man, to the new nature, the Spirit of Christ. It's a weariness to the flesh. It's a weariness to the flesh, to this old nature that we have, even after we're saved. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll see this battle that we mentioned a moment ago. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Think about it in the context of what we're talking about. The flesh, to whom much study is a weariness. The flesh, to whom meditating, to whom musing is a weariness. To the flesh, musing. When you put the little word "a" in front of a word, it makes that word mean "not." So musing means not musing, not thinking. Amusement is the not thinking. It's being entertained. And to most of us, it's very easy for abusing and amusement to be the goal of our life. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ, this new nature to whom much study is not a weariness. The Spirit whose delight is in the law of God. The Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. This is why there's a battle. Every time we sit down to read and study the Word of God. Because it's a weariness to the flesh, and this old nature is going to fight us. It's going to fight against us. And it's going to come up with thoughts to divert our minds. And it's going to come up with reasons to do something else. Anything but meditate and muse on the Word of God. But in the face of this, we have to not be weary in well-doing. We have to die to self. That's what the last part of Galatians 5:17 is reminding us of. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. We can't win this battle in the energy of the flesh. We have to die to self. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to allow the Spirit of God to rule and reign and govern in our life so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit of God commands us to study. Remember what that word means. It means to exert oneself. It means to give diligence. And then the Spirit of God in our text in 2 Timothy 2:15 underscores the word study, means to exert ourselves, with the word workman. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That word workman means laborer. And a laborer is someone who labors with wearisome effort. With wearisome effort. So in the face of much study being a weariness of the flesh, God commands us to labor with a wearisome effort in the power of the Spirit in His Word. In His Word. That's what we need. Remember, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So that we'll be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. When we read that word ashamed in that verse, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, we ought to think about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Where John says, "And now, little children, abide in Him." What does it mean to abide in the Lord Jesus? Well, he tells us in John chapter 15 and verse 7. And it has to do with the Word of God. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you." How are his words going to abide in us? 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." The more His Word abides in us, the more we will abide in Him. And how is His Word going to abide and remain and dwell in us? Well, it's when we reject the flesh, to whom much study of the Word of God is wearisome, and we allow the mind of Christ that's in us, we have the mind of Christ, and we allow that mind to whom much study of the Word of God is His delight to be in us and govern us and rule us. "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. When we tie 1 John 2:18 back to 2 Timothy 2:15, one of the areas of shame when we stand before the Lord will be that we did not study His Word. We did not exert ourselves. We did not give diligence to the Word of truth. We didn't meditate. We didn't muse. We didn't think on it day and night. We didn't hide it in our hearts. And the result is we sinned against God. We didn't bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we didn't pull down the strongholds of sin in our lives. And so what we will build on the only foundation that can be laid, if we know the Lord Jesus is our Savior, He is our foundation. But what we will be building on that foundation is wood, hay, stubble. And the fire of God's judgment at the judgment seat of Christ will consume the wood and the hay and the stubble. And we will be ashamed before Him at His coming. This is the importance of the Word of God in our lives. And we see this kind of importance of the Word of God in Stephen's life. This man was the first deacon chosen. At least he is the first one of the seven deacons who is mentioned, who was chosen to minister to the widows and to the church at Jerusalem. And it's easy just to read that and just kind of dismiss it. Okay, he was a deacon, great. But you have to remember that this was a church that had grown from 120 people on the day of Pentecost to at least 8,000 people. 3,000 were added to the church on the day of Pentecost, and just a few days later, 5,000 men were added. That's what we read in Acts chapter 4. So, did that not include women and children? We don't know. But we know at least, if we can take and add 3,000 and 5,000, we know that there were that many people, but there was more. Because we read in Acts 4:32, the Spirit of God refers to the multitude of them that believe. And so this is the ministry that Stephen and six other men were to oversee and to organize. And to see that the things that needed to be done, not just, I suspect, for the widows, certainly for them, but I'm sure there were other areas that needed to be dealt with. These were the men who were to oversee this, to make sure that all of these things got done. You want to talk about full days? You want to talk about full nights? Or maybe sometimes both? Stephen had them. And the prospect of much study of the Word of God in the moments of respite that he had must have been a weariness to his flesh. It must have just been the first reaction. But Stephen was not weary in well-doing. And he surrendered to the new nature. He surrendered to the inward man who delights in the law of God. And Stephen did something, I believe, that is very important. Stephen did not let his service for the Lord take the place of his study of the Word of God. I'm going to say that again. Stephen did not let his service for the Lord be a substitute for his study of the Word of God. It's very easy to do that. It's very easy to do that. It's very easy to let our service suffice for our study. That's a mistake. Because if we don't spend time studying this book, you know what's going to suffer? Our service. It's the study of the Word of God that continually empowers our service. It's the study of the Word of God continually that gives us the reason for our service. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him." That's service, isn't it? "But unto him which died for them and rose again." Romans 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's the study of the Word of God that continually gives us the reason for our service and keeps our heart tuned as to why we're serving. We're not to be serving with eye service as men pleasers. We serve the Lord Christ. Stephen studied this book. I encourage you to read through Acts chapter 7. I don't know where you're reading right now. But if you read through Acts chapter 7, you find that this man, there's no question that he studied this book. He gives the history of the nation of Israel from Abraham to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and the deliverance from Egypt and their unbelief in the wilderness and their taking of the land of Canaan under Joshua down to David, who wanted to build the temple. Solomon built the temple. He talks about the prophets, and he comes all the way down to the just one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he tells them they betrayed and murdered. Stephen, in his sermon, he quotes or references 122 verses from the Old Testament. That's how many. And I always have to say this, if I counted right, that Schofield has in the margin of the notes on Acts chapter 7. If you have a Schofield reference Bible, you have that center column with the Bible references and notes. But there's 122 verses from the Old Testament that Stephen quotes or references in his sermon. This man knew the Old Testament. He didn't have a teleprompter when he was called before the council. They took him and brought him in there. And he couldn't say, hold on, I got to get my notes. No. This man knew the Old Testament. And the question that we ought to ask is, how could he know it so well? Because it was not easy for this man to study the Word of God. I want you to turn back to something. Luke chapter 4. I want you to see something. And I've never seen this before. Just a thought. Maybe a wrong thought. But it was a blessing to me, and it was a conviction to me to think about it. Look at Luke chapter 4, and look at verse 16. We're reading here about the Lord Jesus. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read, and he took out his copy of the scriptures, and when he had turned to the book of the prophet Isaiah, he opened the book and found the place where it was written." Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say that. It says the book was delivered unto him. Now I'm going to tell you what struck me like a ton of bricks. The Lord Jesus Christ the God of glory, the Word of God living, did not have his own copy of the Word of God written, the Old Testament Scriptures. He didn't need them because he knew them. He wrote them. It's his word. It's forever settled in heaven. His spirit inspired the men. His spirit inspired the very words and gave them to holy men here on earth, and they spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. He has preserved them. So why does he need a copy of the Word of God? It's a good question. But I'm going to tell you the answer, and it's not probably the answer you're looking for. But look at verse 16. It says, he stood up for to read. He stood up for to read, not to quote from his omniscient mind, which he could have done without a bit of trouble. He stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. That blessed my heart. Here is the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient God. And if we can look on that scene, here he is. And what's he doing? He's looking for the book of Isaiah. He's turning to it. Do we know where the book of Isaiah is? He knew. We need to know. And he was looking for a specific place. And he found it where it was written. And then he quotes it. He reads it there. The Lord Jesus is showing us the value that he places on his written word. Because he's doing here exactly what we've been doing tonight. We've been opening the book. And we've been finding the place where it is written. This is the emphasis that God puts on his word. It's why these praise and worship services are such an affront to the God of heaven. Such an affront when people, by the time they get through with all of the commotion, there's no time to open the book to the place where it's written. The Lord did that. The difference is, the Lord Jesus didn't have his own copy of the Old Testament Scriptures. And I think that's underscored to us in verse 20. Look at verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. Gave it back to him. Stephen didn't have a copy of the Old Testament Scriptures. He had to do what the Lord Jesus did. And we see it here that it was the Lord's custom, and it was, I believe, Stephen's custom to go to the synagogue and have delivered to him the Old Testament Scriptures, Moses and the prophets and Psalms. Don't know how far he had to walk to get there. But much study of the Word of God was not a weariness to Stephen. It was his delight. Remember his responsibility. He's one of six other men who are taking care of at least 8,000 people who has a ministry. And yet, going to that synagogue, getting the Word of God delivered to him, was not a weariness to him. It was his delight. It was his pleasure. It was his desire. How about us? Here's the Lord Jesus. Here's Stephen. They didn't have their own copy of the Word of God. And I was trying to count this afternoon how many copies of the Bible I have. I have three that I keep right close by my desk. I have my Scofield Reference Bible, and I have Dr. Henry Morris's Defender Study Bible. Then I have the Defined King James Bible that Dr. D.A. Waite put out, because it's very handy to look up words. But then I said, wait a minute, I got more than three. I got 15. I got 15 that I could count and find in the house. How many do you have? Think about that. Here's the Lord Jesus. Here's Stephen. They didn't have one. They didn't have one. We've got multiple copies. And think about this. We don't have to go to a specific place and have the scriptures delivered to us. We can sit in the comfort of our own homes and open up not just the Old Testament scriptures, but the complete Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. So what's our attitude toward this book? Is much study of it a weariness to the flesh? Do we give in to that weariness? Or is the Word of God the delight and the desire of our heart? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you would impress upon our hearts tonight the great privilege that we have, a privilege that no other generation of your people who've ever lived have had. For the last 400 years or so, your people have been able to have a complete copy of the Word of God. Their own copy of the Word of God. Multiple copies. We pray that we would have the desire and the attitude of heart that it's our delight, that we would not give in to the attitude of the flesh, that much study of the Word of God is a weariness. We pray that you would just help us to think on these things tonight as we leave, to think on these things in this coming week. We need your word. We need to understand the times, and it is this book that will give us that understanding. It's this book that will empower our service and give us a reason for serving you. It's this book and our study and our understanding of it that will cause us to love each other with a pure heart fervently, and to be a blessing to you and a blessing to the people around us, a blessing to our fellow believers. We just pray that you'd help us to consider these things, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.